again. The recording wasn't working. Shem Yishmuel Parshas Achrei Mos Chodesh Iyar Tavshin Ayin Vav. Our 30th and final Shem Yishmuel Shir of the year. So the Chasam Sofer describes two drashos that a Rav gives every year, two major drashos. Of course, those two drashos are Shabbos HaGadol and Shabbos Shuvah. And the Chasam Sofer writes in the second volume of the drashos that these two major drashos are really drashos about the summer. Two drashos that a Rav gives about the summer. One he gives before the summer, and one he gives after the summer. The drasha that the Rav gives before the summer, as we enter into the Kayetzman, right, the drasha of Shabbos HaGadol, as we change over from Saint Talumata Levracha and Mashiv Ruach Mirda Gashem, as we change to the Yemei Kayetz, the Rav warns people about the dangers of summer. That's what the Shabbos HaGadol drasha is. Chasam Sofer writes, Ki Yadua, Darshan Barabim B'Shabbos Shalifnei Pesach, Shabbos HaGadol, U'B'Shabbos Shalifnei Yom Kippurim, Shabbos Shuvah. And the Chasam Sofer explained that the purpose of these two drashos is that the Yemei HaKayetz HaMu'adim LePuranos, the summer months are times where a person can get himself into a lot of trouble. And therefore, the Shabbos HaGadol drasha, HaRishon HaLaor LeZihirus LeFneiem, the Shabbos HaGadol drasha is a warning to a person, you're about to enter into a very challenging time, a spiritually challenging time. And we want you to be a Gadol. We want you to be big about it. We want you to be smart about it. We want you to act mature about it. And then, of course, when you get back from the summer, and we've all done at least a couple of things that we regret, because Ein Tzadik Baretz Shoyasa Tova Lo Yachta, so then the Rav gets up and he gives a Shabbos Shuvah drasha and says, you know, you probably made one or two mistakes over the summer, and it would be kedai to do tshuva, and that's what we call the Shabbos Shuvah drasha. And he says, this is the difference between a Gadol and a Gibor. A Gadol is a person who doesn't get involved in averos, who listens to the Shabbos HaGadol drasha, and he says, I'm going to guard myself before there's a problem. Eizu Gibor, HaKovesh is Yitzro, sometimes after the person has done the avera, he still needs to have Gvura to say that he can fix himself, that he can change himself. And therefore, the Shabbos Shuvah drasha, says the Chasam Sofer, is a Bechina of Gvura. What are the two major challenges every summer? What area of our life do we struggle with in particular in the summer? If you turn to page 3, the Bnei Yisachar tells us that the month of Tammuz and Av correspond to Re'iyah and Shemiyah. In the summer we have challenges of the things that we're going to see, and in the summer we have challenges of the things that we're going to hear. Bnei Yisachar writes in his Ma'amar on Chodesh Tammuz Av, Os Gimel, Hinei Tizbonin Api Sefer Yetzira. If we line up the months according to the various Shvatim, what do we find? We find that Chush Hara'iyah B'Nefesh Hu Neged Chodesh Tammuz B'Shana. That the Chush Hara'iyah, the sense of seeing, corresponds to the month of Tammuz. And the Chush HaShmiyah, hearing, corresponds to Chodesh Av. Now, how do I match up the various months with the various Shvatim? So we'll see in a few moments, Hashem Yishmuel tells us one way to do it is to do it in age order. Another way to do it is to follow the order as presented by the Degalim, and the Jews camped in the Midbar, the way they traveled and the way that they camped. So if you follow that order, he says, then it comes out that Nisan Iyar Sivan corresponds to Yehudi Yisachar Zvulun. Tammuz Av Elul corresponds to Ruvain Shimon Gad. So Tammuz and Av, according to the order of the Degalim, correspond Tammuz to Ruvain and Av to Shimon. Why was Reuven called Reuven? Why was Shimon called Shimon? Says the Bnei Yisachar, so you can see where he's quoting Bereishis Chavtes. Reuven was called Reuven as a lashon of Re'iyah. Because Leah said, Ki ra Hashem ba'ani, Hashem sees my plight, Hashem sees my suffering. Why was Shimon called Shimon? Again, quotes a little bit later, where Leah is blessed with the child Shimon. Ki shama Hashem, because Hashem has heard me. So the names Reuven and Shimon are actually rooted in Re'iyah and Shmiyah. And therefore, the month of Tammuz and Av, which are connected to the Shvatim of Reuven and Shimon, are Zman of Re'iyah and Shmiyah. Historically, how did we get ourselves into trouble with Re'iyah and Shmiyah and Tammuz and Av? Says the Bnei Yisachar, in Tammuz, the Meraglim went to see the land, and they looked at the land with an ayin ra, with a bad perspective, Lasura Sa'aretz, Vayir'u Sa'aretz, Vayonu 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 Sa'aretz, and they caused the hearts of the Jewish people to be misplaced and to be frightened. And then they came back 40 days later. When did they come back and share the report? When was it that Klal Yisrael cried out because they heard the terrible report of the Meraglim? That was, of course, Tisha B'Av. That's how Tisha B'Av came about. So you see that traditionally the month of Tammuz and Av are a time of bad seeing and bad hearing. And therefore it's also not by chance that if we look of which of the Shvatim seem to get themselves into trouble, of course it's the Nesiim of Shevet Reuven and Shevet Shimon who are the ones who get into a lot of trouble. The Nasi for Shevet Reuven getting into trouble with Korach v'Adaso, and the Nasi for Shevet Shimon, of course, being who? Being who? Zimri ben Salu. Also known as Shlumiel ben Suri Shaddai, also known as a variety of names. And he's the one, of course, in the famous incident of Cosby and Zimri. Right? The one who sins with a non-Jewish princess, Barabim, and has to be killed by Pinchas. So we see traditionally, Re'iya and Shmia suffer terribly this time of the year. Of course, by the end of the summer, we've been attacking this. And that's why on Tu B'Av, a day of Yichud, a day of unification, a day of Shidduchim, when the girls go out to the field and they dance around and people find their soulmates, right? What do the girls say as they're dancing in the Kramim, in the vineyards, in the fields? What do they say? The Gemara at the end of Tanis, the Nei Sasser quotes it at the bottom of the page here, Tanis Chavav Amad Aleph on the right-hand column, Binos Yisrael Yotzos V'cholos B'Kramim, the girls go out and they dance around on Tu B'Av after you've made it through the bad times of Tammuz and Av. And they say, young men, take a look and listen to our voice and let's make a shidduch. Learn how to see in the right way and learn how to hear in the right way. So this is the struggle of the summer, and this is what the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha on Pesach gets us ready for. Now, our final piece of Shem Yishmo for the year, from the year Tafresh Ayin Gimel, Rosh Chodesh Iyar on page 2. The other way to Cheshbon the months and the Shvatim is to do it in age order. Shem Yishmuel writes on page 2, Hinei lefi seder leidas ha-shvatim, if we follow the order of the Shvatim and the months in order that they were born, so Nisan corresponds to Reuven. And Iyar, the month that we're entering in, the month that we're entering into, Abalin Latova, is what? Corresponds to Shimon. V'cheinu b'zohar kadosh v'chodesh Nisan is Reuven, because Kira Hashem. Shimon is Iyar, Kishama Hashem. V'arei shnei achadashim e'elu b'chinas Re'i u'b'chinas Shmia. So it's very interesting. The summer months correspond to Re'i and Shmia, but also the month that we're in now, that we're starting right now, very shortly, the month of Iyar is a Zman of Shmia. And we're so fortunate that our good Rebbe, the Shem Yishmuel, set us up for the closing shir of Tavshin Ayin Vav. Look what he writes. What's the inyan of Shemiah, as opposed to Re'iyah? The Zohar Kadosh says, Ki Re'iyah hi mikaro v'shemiyah me'rachok. Re'iyah is something that takes place up close. So when Avram's on his way to Akedas Yitzchak and he says, Vayar es hamakom me'rachok, that's not good. Re'iyah and rachok don't go well together. Re'iyah is to be able to see something up close. Shemiyah is from a distance. That's what the Zohar Kadosh says. Shmia means to be able to listen from a distance. V'hainu, ki b'nisan ro Yisrael b'nei melukos. In the month of Nisan, we see Hashem very clearly, all the miracles of Mitzrayim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed Himself to us. Right? Lo yispik batzeikam. They left Mitzrayim. Tremendous geula. Mora gadol. Like we say in the Agada, zegilei shechina. V'yar Yisrael es hayada gadola. We saw the hand of Hashem. Zekeli v'anveyu. Rosh l'shifcha alayam. Mashallah Ra, Yechazko ben Buzi. We could see everything in Nisan. Chayav Adam, Liros es Atzma. The whole avodah of Nisan is to have a clarity of vision. However, says the Shem Yishmuel, where it's underlined, Ach b'chodesh Iyar nish'ar rak b'chinas Shmiel Merachah. But after Pesach, when we leave that closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we enter the month of Iyar, and now we have to travel a long winded road until we get back to meet up with Hashem at Har Sinai, during the Yemei Sfira Sa'omer, it's an Indian of Shmiah. And Shmiah means I'm able to listen from a distance. That I don't see Hashem. Hashem went into hiding. But I still hear His voice. As the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Shim Ibas Uri'i V'ati Oznech. As we explained in the past, he says, Inyan hatayas ozen, hu yos rodev achar omek hakavana v'lo yistapik b'shitchias ha'inyan. Re'iyas, shmiyas ha'ozen, hatayas ozen, means to listen deeply. As we spoke about in one of the earlier shurim this year. Right? To try to understand what's the inner kavana, what does Hashem want? What's this all about? I can't see Hashem right in front of my eyes. But everything that I saw once upon a time, now I can't see it. Do I still hear? Do I still hear the Dvar Hashem? Do I hear it in a deep way? Am I able to turn my ear to the inner kavana of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And look what he writes. V'chein hu b'chodesh hazeh, shetzarech ha'odom lahaschil al kavana. Where it's underlined. Sha'amivukash mea adam einenu kishu roes alukus ve'enav. The test of a person's commitment to Yiddishkeit and his resolve and what he got from yeshiva is when he leaves yeshiva, like the Mashpia was talking about the other day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not send us to this world to see him directly. We saw him directly before he came to this world. Our neshama was basking in the presence of the Shechina, was tachas kisei hakavod. Why did Hashem send us to this dark, confusing world of Hester Panim where you can't see Hashem? He didn't need to come to this world to see Hashem face to face. So what are we doing here? The goal is to be able to hear HaKadosh Baruch when I can't see Him. V'im kein, kol kavanas hanisim va'aros hagadolos shel chodesh nisan hayu achana levad l'imei Hester v'choshech. Everything that we have zochet to see on the Leil Seder, more gadol zegilah shechina chayav adam liras esatzmo. All that is a hachana for the dark times, for the times where Hashem is not so easily seen. Achar stalkas ha'aras nisan, when Nisan is over, when the springtime of our life is over, when Nisan is over, ulakayim ki eshev bechoshech Hashem orli, like the pasuk says in Micha, when I sit in darkness, but I'm no longer basking in the light, but I still feel that I'm in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. Hashem is my light. Not through Re'iyah, but through the Koach of Shemiyah. And in this way, you come from Reuven to Shimon, it's a person Zochet to come to Levi. You come to Levi, Levi of course being the Shevet of Torah, coming to Shavuos, coming back to Har Sinai, and being Zochet to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu face to face once again. There's a letter I've shared, I think every year, at the end of the Zman, a letter from Rav Huttner on page 4. Before there, it's clear from the letter out of Talmud we worked with for a long time, and he tried to have a breakthrough with this Talmud, and the Talmud just wasn't hearing it. None of the messages were getting through. And then finally, again from the letter, it's clear after years of separation, all of a sudden, Befunder got a message from this Talmud, how great he's doing, and how much he's thriving. And Befunder wrote back the following to him. He writes in the Igros Uksavim Pachar Yisrael Kufnun Hei. He says, I got your message. I hope you got my message. I'm writing to you now. And I want to raise with you a pasuk that's always troubled me. The pasuk says in Tehillim, in the fourth line, he says, Bishakvara Yamim Hayamargla Bapumi Lahoros Be'etzpala Pasuk Echad Betel. There's a pasuk in Tehillim I don't really understand. Always took note of this pasuk. Dine Benoik Shiba'olam. Im Reuven rotze ledaber l'shimon. If A wants to speak to B, if Yanko wants to speak to Beryl, hineu koreas Shimon elav v'omer. He says, Shimon, come here, please. I'd like to speak to you. Right? Let's get together. Let's come close to one another and speak to one another. Bo elai v'adaber elecha. What is David HaMelech saying to Tehillim? That's so shocking. David HaMelech has a hanhaga afucha. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Lamedali lechu banim shimuli. Go away. Go away, my children, and listen to me. Go away and listen to me. When you want to speak to someone, you call them over. You don't tell them to go away. What does that mean, lechu banim? Go, my son. Go from here and listen to me. Yotzei midvar me'ela, says Rav Huttner, Shebishosha dibur hu mechuven ele banim, yashneich etimsa kezu shedavka ha'alicha lemercha kim molida es ha'shmiya. Sometimes when a person is speaking to someone and you're speaking to them close and it's not resonating, sometimes they have to walk far away in order to actually be able to hear what you say. What does that mean? Klomar, left side of the page. Hanishma mekarav einu miskabel. Sometimes in the environment where it makes the most sense to be able to hear one another, the words are just not getting through. Aval b'shoa shaholchim misrachim chola hashmiel amafreya. But sometimes a person walks away and then all of a sudden they say, ah, that's what the person was trying to say. Now I understand the message. So says Rav Hunter, we sat together for a long time. We spent many hours together. And I tried to approach you in many different ways. I tried to speak to you gently. I tried to give you mussar. I tried to appease you. I tried to shame you. I tried to do everything to try to shake you up, to wake you up, to get you to do something. And none of it worked. And now all of a sudden, you've been gone for so long. And now all of a sudden, there's this deep kesher that you feel towards me. And all of a sudden, you're writing me this letter. And says Rav Hunter in the closing two lines of the letter, V'zoi ha-she'ila sheni ma'amid lefanecha. The question that I want to ask you is perhaps, are you experiencing what David HaMelech wrote so beautifully in Tehillim, L'chu banam shimuli? Hashiveni davar, in be'emes ha-siba shal tochan mechtavechu mitzad ha-pasak shal David HaMelech. Are you writing to tell me that after all these years, is that what you're really saying? You wrote to me and you said, you know, I'm learning this and I'm doing that. And what are you really saying is, thank you, Rebbe, for all the time you put in and all the effort you made. And even though I wasn't mekablet b'shas ma'isa, but eventually I was zochet to mekablet. And he signs the letter, b'tzipiyah l'haramas karnam shal amelei Torah, those who study the Torah, Yitzchak Hutner. Now I want to offer a different approach, maybe to Rav Hutner's question on David HaMelech. L'chu banim shimuli. Go away and listen to me. Again, everyone understands that when you're close and you're speaking to someone, right, it's easier for them to hear you. It's much harder for a person to hear you when they go far away. But the question is, maybe David HaMelech is saying, it's true, obviously you can hear best when you're close. Right? Rav Hunter is saying, there's a certain my love hearing that actually is best when you're far. But Bederach HaPshat, everyone knows you can hear someone better when you're standing close to them, when there's no great distance between the two people. And yeah, maybe David HaMelech is saying, but there's a type of listening that's very chashiv when you can't hear so clearly. There's a type of listening where it's not as clear, but David HaMelech says, that's in some ways a test. It's similar to what Rav Hunter is saying, but let me show you what I'm trying to say. In the Lekach Valivov on page 5, one of the early volumes that Rav Shor put out, the Mamari Leil Shabbos Kodesh V'Yom Tov, in Parshas Ekev, there's a question that he brings from the Noam HaMelech. The Rebbe Rav Melech asked the following question. V'haya ekev tishma'un es kol ha-mishpatim ha-eila. If you keep all the mitzvos, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, then I'll make sure to protect you b'schus avos. So the Rebbe Rav Melech said, what? If you keep all the mitzvos, why do I need schus avos? If I have my own tzuchusim, why do I need to bank on the avoda of those who came before, who listened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I myself am listening? Vaya Ekev Tishmun, it'll be that when you listen to Kol HaMishpat HaMe'ila. That's the Rebbe Rav Melech's question. Why does the pasuk go on to promise me the chesed of the promise of the avos if I've earned it myself? I'm listening to Hashem. Vaya Ekev Tishmun. So Rav Shor tells us a beautiful pshat based on a radak in Tehillim. It's a good klal to know on the left side of the page. The radak in Tehillim, in Perek Yizayin Pasuk Ches, on the Pasuk Shamreini Ki Ishon Bas Ayin, David HaMelech says, protect me like the Ishon Bat Ayin, like the pupil of the eye. Why is the pupil called an Ishon? What does Ishon mean? What does Vav Nun at the end of a word mean? What's a Shabbaton? Shabbat Shabbaton. Whenever you have a Vav Nun at the end of the word, there's a klal. You know what the klal is? The Radak gives us the klal. Tell me Yizayin. Says the Radak in the fourth line in the left column, Ki nun besof hateva balahak tinasamila. Ishon means a miniature man. What happens when you look into someone's eyes? What do you see? You see a reflection of yourself, a miniature. You see a little mini picture of yourself. So when you look into someone's eyes, it's called an ishon. Very interesting. Ubeina adam nira demus ishkatan. Rav Gifter once said, the reason that is because when I talk to another person, I should look and see myself as much smaller than the person I'm speaking to. I might hold myself to be much bigger than the person, but when I see my reflection in their eyes, when I see the little miniature me, and I see the big version of them before my eyes, I say, wow, this person's more chasher than me. It's a beautiful insight from Rav Mordechai Gifter. But this is the klal. Vav Nun at the end of the word comes to make a miniature version of that word. So says Rav Shor, V'haya Ekev Tishma'un. The pasuk doesn't say that you're listening fully. What does the pasuk say? V'haya Ekev Tishma'un. V'haya Ekev Tishma'un. It'll be when you listen a little bit. V'yesh lomar lefi dvarav. Ki hashmiya beis ikvas of the Mashiach afilu yev b'chinas Tishma'un. Let's leave the Ikvus of the Mashiach aside for a moment. Let's talk about the person who, again, L'chu Vanim Shimuli, who's left yeshiva, whether it's for the summer or whether it's for the rest of his life, that he's ending the official years of learning in yeshiva of his life. Yeah? V'haya Ekev Tishma'un. You're not going to be able to listen as loudly as when you were sitting in the shiur room. But can you still listen a little bit? Tishma'un. V'haya Ekev Tishma'un. And guess what? If a person is able to listen a little bit, then V'haya. V'haya we know from the Medrash, we'll come back to it a little later, but V'haya is a lashon of simcha. Then there's a trend of simcha that the Rebbe has and that the Talmud should feel. To know that even when I'm not with my chaver, and I'm not with my yeshiva, and I'm not with my Rebbe, that I'm able to what? I'm still able to hear a little something. That the message is still reverberating. And that's what David Malth is saying. Of course, stay close as long as you can and listen to me. But at some point, l'chu banim, you have to walk away. And shimuli, and hopefully you're able to continue to still hear something, even from a distance. And I think with this, we can be malam itzchus and klal yisur. Because we know on page 6, Tosfos, in Mesech HaShabbos, Kuftes Zayin, quotes the famous Medrash. We know, the Gemara says, that really the Chumash is made up of 7 books. 7 books? I thought there were 5 books of the Torah. No, 7 books. Sefer Bamidbar is really 3 books combined. 3 books combined. 3 svar. 7 books of the Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu put Nunim Hafuchim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put Vayhi Ben Tzoa Aaron. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was breaking up different passages of the Torah that they shouldn't be too close together. Why? Because Hashem didn't want to put too many mistakes of the Jewish people back to back. What were the mistakes of the Jewish people that are being broken up over there in Chumash Bamidbar? Well, one of the things that the Pasuk says, you can see by the arrow on the right-hand side of the page, just in the Torah Or, where it brings the Pasuk, Vayis'u me'ar Hashem derech shloshes yamim. The Jewish people left Har Sinai. Okay, so why is that a mistake? At some point we have to leave Har Sinai. Can't stay at Har Sinai forever. But says the Medrash, as quoted by Tosfos, where it's bolded, the Medrash Yilam Deinu teaches us, Shenasu me'ar Sinai derech shloshes yamim. Ketineo kayotze mi beis ha-sefer, shaboreach lo v'holech lo. Kach hayu baruchim Har Sinai. That when the Jews finally got reshus to leave Har Sinai, they ran away from Har Sinai like a child on the last day of yeshiva, on the last day of school, who runs out at the final bell, finally free for the summer. Yeah? With such a mayridik simcha of knowing that finally the year is over. Right? Klal Yisrael, it was time to leave Har Sinai, but you didn't have to run away from the mountain. That was a sin. That was a mistake. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make sure that the mistakes of Klal Yisrael aren't compounded by being placed back to back. But I want to be Malam Mitzvos on Klal Yisrael. Why did Klal Yisrael run away from Har Sinai? Why did Klal Yisrael run away from Har Sinai? So I gave you an answer once in the past when we learned this letter from a footner. I'm going to say similar but a little bit different today. I think Klal Yisrael were saying, I want to see, you could say like Rav Hutner, in the past I've been Malam Mitzvos on Klal Yisrael just using Rav Hutner's Yisod. That L'chu Banim Shimuli. They were saying, listen, until we walk away, we're not going to be able to absorb what we got here. So they wanted to run away from Har Sinai to be able to get far away. L'chu Banim Shimuli, to be able to finally absorb the message. But I think, based on what we're saying today, based on Rav Shor's V'haya Ekev Tishma'un, maybe Klal Yisrael said, let's see how far away from the mountain we can get and still be able to hear something. To still Tishma'un. Of course we want to stay by the mountain and hear and sit with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the test of how much we've really heard at the mountain is how far away can we run and still hear something. And still hear the reverberations of the Dvar Hashem at Har Sinai. What happened at Har Sinai lasted forever. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, on page 7 and 8, in the Shvivei Or, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says that we know the Torah tells us explicitly that what happened at Sinai happened and is currently happening and will forever be happening. What happened at Sinai, the Dvar Hashem that came to the world, is still found in the world. Maybe it's a little harder to hear it. It's V'haya Ekev Tishma'un. You have to listen a little more carefully to hear it from such a distance. And as time goes on, as we get farther from our Sinai, both in terms of time and space, it becomes harder to hear our Sinai. But says the Torah, says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, the Rav of Yerushalayim, Zatzal, L'gabei maim at Har Sinai nemar kol gadol v'lo yasaf. The Dvar Hashem at Har Sinai, it says in Parshas Veschanan, was a kol gadol, a great voice, v'lo yasaf. Says the Targum, lo yasaf means lo pasak, it never stopped. The voice of Hashem at Har Sinai never stopped. Hakavanahi, where it's underlined, Shakol shenever b'sinai eino nifsak. A person who wants to hear the Dvar Hashem, not only on Shavuos, not only at special times, but a person every day of his life can wake up and say, I want to hear the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'tzarech she'eh kol zeh nishma tamid b'libo shel adam. One of the Lubavitcher Rebbes came home from Cheder one day crying as a little boy. And he said it was with his father or grandfather. He said, I'm so upset. He said, what are you upset about? He said, we learned today that Hashem said to Avram, lech lecha me'artzecha. So he says, no, so what are you crying about? He says, well, I'm crying because why did Hashem speak to Avram? Why doesn't Hashem speak to me? I was like a five-year-old boy. He's like, why does Hashem not speak to me? So his father, his grandfather calmed him down. He said, listen, Avram had given a long time of dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he was a zaken, and he was a tzaddik. It takes time sometimes to hear the Dvar Hashem. But like a little child crying over the fact that I want so badly to hear the Dvar Hashem, that's how we should live every day of our life. We should wake up every morning, he says, to hear the Kol Hashem, which is Tamid, B'libo Shel Adam. Hear it outside of you, hear it within you. U'v'chol yom yu be'einav kechadashim. The opportunity to hear the Dvar Hashem. The im came. Tzarich ha'adam lahargilas atzmo ki'ilu shomeas ha'kol tamid. You have to live every day of your life, whether you hear it physically or not, to live ki'ilu. I can still hear the Dvar Hashem. It's still in the world. I live in such a way that despite all the cynicism and all the criticism of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I hear the Dvar Hashem. I'm a Jew who walks down the street. Really? You heard God speak? Yes, I hear God speak. Tishma'un at the very least, a small shmiel. I can still hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. And therefore, what do we do to the person who stops listening to the Dvar Hashem? Says Esfi Pesach Frank, a beautiful diuk in Rashi and Mishpatim. Turn to page 8. The person who decides, I'd rather be an Eved for Basar Vedam than be an Eved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do? We take him to the doorpost and we pierce his ear. And Rashi says, Ozen Zos, Sheshama Bar Sinai. This ear that heard at Har Sinai to be an Eved to Hashem, and now took a different Eved. Pashup Shad is, you heard Hashem speak long ago, right? But now you've given up on that message. But says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, a beautiful diuk. You know what the problem with this guy is? You know what his issue is? Is the fact that Ozen Zos Sheshama Bar Sinai. He thought Hashem stopped speaking after Har Sinai. Dehainu Rak B'Sinai Shama. Only at Har Sinai he heard the Dvar Hashem. That's how he became a slave to another human being. That's how he became a slave to Olam Hazeh. U'misham ve'elach shuv eino shomeyas kol v'hu nishkach v'menu. He stopped listening to the Dvar Hashem. He thought that when we left Har Sinai, Hashem's voice was nowhere to be found in the world anymore. Rav Yecheskel Abramsky, who was arrested for the terrible crime of teaching Torah, and eventually he got shipped off to Siberia. Rav Shor, in that same volume we were looking at a moment ago, on page 9 in Parshas Korach, Rav Shor tells a story about a Russian KGB officer interrogating Rav Yecheskel Abramsky. You have to understand, Rav Yecheskel Abramsky was as tough as nails. And he wasn't going to, the same way the famous story with the Rebbe Rayatz, when the officer put a gun to his head and said, Rabbi, you should understand what the stakes are here. And of course, the famous answer of the Rebbe Rayatz was that a person who believes in one world and many gods is afraid of a revolver. But a person who believes in one God like I do and believes in many worlds like I do is not afraid of a revolver. So you'll kill me, so what? So I'll be with the Kodesh Baruch Hu in the Olam Emes. Doesn't frighten me, doesn't threaten me. Can I just say that to people with a track record of putting bullets in Jews' heads? Yeah? And of course, the Rebbe Rayatz survived. So Rav Yecheskel Abramsky, who was a contemporary and a friend of the Rebbe Rayatz, was the same way. So this Russian officer is trying to, you know, get information out of him. And he's interrogating him. And he starts screaming at the top of his lungs. He gets up in Rav Yecheskel Abramsky's face, and he's screaming at the top of his lungs. And he says to him, have you ever heard a voice as loud, as powerful as mine, in order to intimidate him, to threaten him? And cool as ice, Rav Yecheskel Abramsky says, yes. In fact, I do, on a daily basis. He said, I hear the voice of Har Sinai. Hakol b'Sinai is the voice that I hear. I've heard a voice that's even louder than yours. Even more powerful, more impressive. And I tremble before that voice much more than I tremble before your voice. And what voice is that? That's the voice of Har Sinai. Says Rav Shor, Hakol b'Sinai ukol hamashtik kol hakolos. The voice of Har Sinai is the voice that silences all other voices. That no matter how noisy Midtown Manhattan might be, no matter how noisy this world might be, A Jew has to know, if I want, I can tune into a certain voice, and I can ignore all the other voices. And that's the voice of Har Sinai. And a person who listens to that voice, as I'm sure, Yechol in Lishmoa Oso Kol Gadol, V'az Ein Kol Acher HaMafriel. Then there's no other voice in the world. Yechazel Abramsky lived that way. Rashi Pesach Frank lived that way. The Tzaddikim are telling us to live that way. You're not going to always be able to hear Hashem's voice, right? As loud as can be. But V'haya Ekev Tishmoon, to be able to listen a little bit, to hear a little something. Because when a person listens to the Dvar Hashem, it's something that can't be contradicted. It can't be taken away. It's a permanent thing that exists. It's a kol gadol below yasaf, below pasach, is the Targum. It never stopped. Shmia, real Shmia, can't be questioned. The Divrei Chaim, in his writings on Chanukah, tells us the difference between Re'iyah and Shmia. What's the difference between Re'iyah and Shmia? On page 10. The difference between seeing and hearing. What's my emunah dependent upon? Re'iyah or Shmia? So, people like to say, seeing is believing. As Jews, we don't hold that way. How do we hold? How do we paskin? We paskin hearing is believing. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The Ramban in Parshas Ve'eschanan, that our belief is built on what I heard directly from my parents, who heard from their parents, or from their parents. But you'll tell me someone from a different religion also heard stories from their parents and grandparents. Okay, there's a certain ne'amanis that we have, and a belief that we have, that we trust the people who have told us the story. But Shmia, if I hear Shmia, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, if I hear it from someone who's ne'aman, who's trustworthy, then I know that what they're telling me is absolute. Says the Divrei Chaim, says Rav Chaim Halberstam, V'alderech Mashal, B'ri'iyah Yesh Makom Litos B'riyas Ayin. When it comes to seeing, there's a lot of room for mistake. And therefore the Torah warns us, Lo Zasur Achrei Levachem, V'achrei Yenechem. Be careful of what your eyes will show you. But he says, when it comes to Shmia, Shmia hu bechinas mash shamo mimeman. Shmia is that which I heard from someone I trust. Sha'az ein litos. And then I'm able to what? I can go out to the street, I can go out to the world, I can see things that contradict what I've heard, but my Shmia is absolute. Because I've heard it from someone who I trust. It was whispered into my ear. And I'm going to be Makayim Hatayas Ozen, like the Shemi Shmuel said. I'm going to listen to the inner kavana of what I was told. V'atorah kadosha shamu b'sinai me'akadosh baruch hu yizbaruch shmo pel peh. V'lachein, mitzvas amuna yakar ma'od. Amuna is the most precious mitzvah, because amuna really is, in many ways, the mitzvah of Shmia. The mitzvah of Shmia. What we heard at Har Sinai. That even what? Even the things that you could see at Har Sinai, they could hear. They were able to hear the things that are seen. Which means that they were able to take everything down to the level of Shmia. V'lachein mitzvah amuna yakar ma'od, v'nei be'emes zeh choch miyaseira b'chinas Shmia ve'amuna chazak banu. B'pnei sheshamanu b'sinai anochi v'lo yelecha. When we heard directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am Hashem your God, that Shmia is a kol gadol v'lo pasak. It can never be taken away. It can never be stopped. And therefore, even when we run away from the mountain, we say, Hashem, but look how far we can run. We're running and we're running. We want to show Hashem. We're running. That's the limus chusan kol Yisrael. They weren't running because they were tired of being close to Hashem. They wanted to show Hashem, look how much we absorbed it. We can go so far away, Shmia me'rachok, and we can still hear the Dvar Hashem. We still feel connected to your voice. But I want to offer another pshat, because it would be chaval to not say something in this week's parsha. I want to offer another pshat, I think. Another new pshat. In Lechu Banim Shimuli. Go away and listen to me. This time of the year, we think a lot about the famous machlokas between the tzedukim and the prushim. The machlokas between the tzedukim and the prushim, legabe sfira sa'omer, is when do we start counting sfira? The Torah says, mimachras ha-shabbos, you start counting sfira. So we know mimachras ha-shabbos means the day after the Yom Tov of Pesach. The tzedukim say, no, mimachras ha-shabbos means Shabbos Bereishis. Start counting after Saturday. So the first Shabbos after Pesach, you start counting the Sunday. That Sunday you start counting Sfiras Omer. That's one of the famous machlokas in between the tzedukim and the prushim. There's another famous machlokas between the tzedukim and the prushim, but it's in this week's parsha. And that is, when it comes to the avoda of the Kohen Gadol on Kodesh, on Yom Kippur in Kodesh Kadashim, to bring the Ketores Lifnai v'Lifnim, so how do you prepare the Ketores? What did Tzedukim hold? The Tzedukim read the Pasuk, Ki ba'anan eira'a la kapores. You have to come in with a cloud. Meaning the question is as follows. The Kohen Gadol is going to do some type of incense offering in the Kodesh Kadash. But the question is, do I place the incense spices on the hot coals outside before I walk into the Kodesh Kadashim, create a cloud of smoke, and then enter with the dish prepared, ready to be served? Or does the Kohen Gadol walk in with a pan of coals and a cup full of spices and then prepare the dish inside to create the cloud in the Kodesh Kadashim? No, how do we hold? How do we pass it? We paskin, you go in, and then you make it, right? Then you prepare it. The tzedukim hold, no, kibah non era al kapores. You have to come in with a cloud. A lot of different explanations of what this machlokas was about. One of the great defenders of the Jewish people, Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch, someone who had to grapple with a world outside the Beis Medrash, Rav Shimshon ben Rafael Hirsch, his father's name was Rafael. His father's name, did you know that? His father's name was Rafael. Rav Shimshon ben Rafael, everyone calls him Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch. He's Rav Shimshon, the son of Rafael Hirsch. But everyone calls him Rav Samson Raphael Hirsch. Anyway, so Rav Hirsch, if you look on his matseva, you can see it's Shimshon ben Rafael. So Rav Shimshon ben Rafael Hirsch writes an explanation of this machlokas, and it's so true to the times in which he was living. He says, what did the tzedukim hold? What did the tzedukim hold? What's the nekudas ha-machlokas? Right? It's not just about how you read a couple of psukim in Parshas Achrei Mos. Because you have psukim that make it sound like you should do it inside, you have psukim that sound like you should do it outside. Yeah? Rav Hirsch says the truth is, the pasha pshat is like the chachamim. The tzedukim have to kvetch out a pshat in the Torah, right? In order to say what they hold to be pasha pshat. But what's the nekudas ha-machlokas? The machlokas is, do I take from the outside and bring it in? Or does the inside set the tone for what takes place on the outside? Says Rav Hirsch, do I take something on the outside and try to impose it upon Kodesh Kadashim? Or does whatever takes place on Kodesh Kadashim spread outward? Says Rav Hirsch, that's exactly what I'm grappling with. That's exactly what the New Age Tzedukim of the world are fighting us on. That they say it's not Derech Eretz, that our little world of Torah should influence the bigger world around us. Rather, where's the decency? Where are the midos? Right? Where's the sense of ethics and culture to take from the outside world and to bring it in? And therefore, says it first at the bottom of page 11 in the right hand column, "V'kachvar hatzedukim b'shatam hayusogdim le'aliel hanimus hachitzoni." Already the tzedukim of the good old days, they're already sogdim, they're already bowing to the alilim, right? Alilim, like we're saying aleinu, alilim. To the idolatries, to the foreign idols of hanimus hachitzoni, of what the street says, of what the culture around us dictates. Hu ha'alil, shegam ha'tzadukim shel yameinu sogdim lo. It's the same God, it's the same falsified God and ideology that we're still bowing to today. The tzadukim, so to speak, of our time, are trying to impose their way upon the Torah. That what takes place on the outside comes into Kodesh Kadashim, and not the opposite. And therefore, at this critical time of Yom Kippur, a decision has to be made in setting the tone for the entire year. Is the outside going to influence the inside, or is the influence going to influence the outside? And I was thinking about this rehearse this week, and I said, maybe that's another pshat in David HaMelech. Lechu banim shimuli. Go away and listen to me. Go away and listen to me. Says Rav Hutner, if you want to talk to someone, you tell them, if they're far away, come close. But maybe David HaMelech is saying, no. L'chu banim shimuli. What you heard on the inside, l'chu banim. Take that outside. Go from the inside out. Take whatever you heard, lifnai v'lifnim, and bring it outward. And again, that'll be the test. That'll be the test of your commitment to Yiddishkeit. Am I taking it from the outside and bringing it back into the Beis Medrash? Or what? What I absorbed on the inside, l'chu banim, I'm walking with it, I'm traveling with it. I'm going farther and farther away from that inner point of Kodesh Kadashim, but I'm taking the Devar Hashem with me every single step of the way. You can walk away from yeshiva. You can be far from the Beis Medrash. And also you can be far from the starting line in a different way. And I want to conclude by making it nogaya to not only what some of us are going to experience for a short period of time by ending the Zman together, and what some of us might experience for a longer period of time by not coming back to YU next year, not coming back to the yeshiva next year, but I think what Klal Yisrael are experiencing, Begadol, like we saw earlier, the Ikfas of the Meshicha. The Ikfas of the Meshicha
The Ichus of the Mashiach were very far from the starting point of Jewish history. And we're very far from the Doros that were the Rosh of time. But let's come back one last time. And especially since one of our Rizhner Hasidim is graduating, we'll end with a Torah from the Rizhner. The Rizhner, in the Nesiva Shalom, Parshas Ekev, is quoted as explaining the Vahaya Ekev Tishmun. The Vahaya Ekev Tishmun that Rav Shor was being Meramis to. Says the Rizhner, Vahaya Ekev Tishmun, it's from the Iron Kedishin. Vahaya, he says, is a Lashon of Simcha. We're on page 12. Vahaya is a Lashon of Simcha. Vahaya is Rashi Tevas, Yismuch Lashamayim, the Saga La'aretz, where there's what to be so happy about. The heavens and the earth rejoice. Vahaya what? What gives Nachas Ruach to Hashem? What makes Hashem happy? Ekev Tishmu'un. Ekev Mor al Doros Hachronim Shal Ikvas Adem Mashicha. The final generations. The generations that are very far, again, in time and place, from our Sinai. Sitting here in Washington Heights, New York. Ki Neshamos Yisrael Heim Kol Mashleim. Every Neshama of the Jewish people is one big body. There were earlier generations that were like the head. You know what problem the feet has that the head doesn't have? The head has eyes to see. The head has ears to hear. You can physically see and physically hear with a head. You travel a little farther down through Jewish history, you come to the heart. The heart can't see or hear in a physical sense, but there's a Re'iyas Halev and there's a Shmiyas Halev. We understand the concept, poetically, of the heart being able to hear and the heart being able to see. A lev shomeya, like the Pasuk says. But then you travel down to the feet, to the lowest generation, and says, the Nesiva Shalom, based on the Rizhner, the bottom of the right-hand column, Achadoros ha'achronim he'bechinas raglayim, she'enam ro'am ve'enam shomim. You don't even find poetic psukim in Tanakh that say the feet can hear. However, we do find the Pasuk in Chumash that talks about the feet here. Says the Rizhner, what Pasuk in Chumash tells us, Vahaya, the greatest simcha in the world, is when the Ekev, when the lowest part of the foot, when the lowest part, when the heel, when the lowest part of the foot is Tishmu'un, is able to listen. And again, it might be a Tishmu'un, like Rosh Hashanah said, Vavnun, might be a little Shmiya. It might be just a small, still voice, a slight reverberation. We may not be hearing the Dvar Hashem as loud as Rav Yechezkel Abramsky heard it. But what a simcha it is. How proud of Kadosh Baruch Hu is. L'chu banim shimuli. How proud David HaMelech is. How proud of us Hunder would be. If you could walk out of yeshiva, and even in the Zman of the Ikhlas of the Mashicha, where you can't see anything, to be able to continue to hear, to be able to still hear Tishma'un at the very least, to sit in the darkness, and to be able to hear something when my eyes physically can't see anything. What was the Pasuk? What was the Pasuk? The Shem Yishmol quoted? Pasuk in Micha? What was the Pasuk? Take a look. What was the Pasuk? Ki eshev b'choshech Hashem orli. When I sit in the dark and I can't physically see anything, when my heel is covered more so than any other part of my body with a sock and with a shoe and it's trampled and it's dark and it's the skin is thick and hardened, yeah? And yet, v'haya, ekev tishmu'un, and the ekev, when a Jew in the Ikhaz of the Mashiach is still listening, ki eishev b'choshech Hashem orli, when I'm sitting in the dark, I still hear the Dvar Hashem. However, what's the gematria of the word Ikhaz of the Mashiach? 936. What's the gematria of ki eishev b'choshech Hashem orli? Exactly 936. Because a Jew is able to sit in the dark when he can't see anything. When there's Hester Panim, Legamri, and he's still able to say, Rabbon Shalom, I still hear you. I can't see you anymore, but I still hear you. Such a Jew brings the biggest simcha, the biggest nachas ruach to a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the world. What's the key? What's the key to making this happen? L'maisa. The same thing I tell you every single day. This thing that separates the person who's going to get it and who's going to be changed by learning Torah is the person who shows up and cares to be changed by learning Torah. At the end of the day, you decide. You decide how much you care and how much it matters to you. Do I want to be able to hear the Dvar Hashem in Tav Shinayin Vav? Do I want to be able to hear the Dvar Hashem when it's hard to see Har Sinai? And it's hard to even hear Har Sinai? Because for all the noise that's in the world, Rav Shor said, if you can tap into the Dvar Hashem, it's the only call that matters. There's a klal on page 13 Rosh Hashanah Chav Zayin Amid Aleph. On Chav Vav Amid Beis in Rosh Hashanah, there's a Mishnah that describes how they blew the shofar in the Beis HaMikdash. You had a shofar surrounded by chatzotzros on two sides. And when they would blow the shofar, they would also sound the chatzotzros. Now there's a concern that trei kolei lo mishtame. You can't hear two things at once. It's impossible to hear two things at once. The Gemara says, commenting on that Mishnah, Chav Zayin Amid Aleph in Rosh Hashanah, trei kolei lo mishtame, at the top of the page, how do you blow the chatzotzros at the same time? V'atanya zachar v'shar v'dibur echad nemru, masha'ina pe yechol ladar v'ina ozen yechol lishmoa. Zachar v'shamor can't naturally be heard, right? Yeah, Hashem made it that we were able to hear everything at our Sinai. But naturally, you can't hear two things at once. So says the Gemara, Lekach marech b'shofar. That's why the Mishnah says that when you blow the shofar and the chasosros, you make sure that the shofar sound goes longer than the chasosros. So the Gemara says, oh, so it's enough to just hear the end of the shofar blast. And the Gemara has a whole discussion about that. Jump down to where it's underlined, the next section. The Gemara says, is it possible to hear two things from two people at once? Don't we have a rule that when it comes to translating the Torah, that you can't necessarily have b'torah echad kori ve'echad mitargim u'bevad shelo shnayim mitargimin? You can't have two people translating the Torah at once because you're not going to be able to understand it. You can't have a tzaduki translate the Torah for you and a prushi translate the Torah for you. You can't hear two things at once. No, but l'maisa, I have to go to the world. And I have a boss who is going to give me instructions that I need to listen to. And I have a world that's sending messages to me. So, is it impossible to hear the Dvar Hashem? Right? Let's say I need to listen a little bit to the world. Yes, maybe I can be Rabbi Yechezkel Abramsky and block out everything else. But maybe I have to listen a little bit to the world. Trei kolei lo mishtame. But there's an exception. There's one exception to being able to hear two things at once. Says the Gemara, when it comes to Hallel and Megillah, afilu asara korin, even if 10 people read it together, you can still be mechalik between the voices. Why? Kaven dechaviv, yahiv daite hachanami, kaven dechaviv, yahiv daite yushama. If you really care, if it's precious to you, even if there are other sounds that seemingly should take away, if it's precious to you, you're able to hear what you really need to hear. That's the klal. And therefore, a person who lives in a world where there's a lot of noise and a lot of distractions, what's the key to make sure that I still hear the Dvar Hashem? Even when it's hard to hear it amongst all the other noise. Not Rabbi Yechezkel Abramsky. The answer is, if it's chaviv to you. If you care about it, you'll find the way to hear it. You'll make sure that your ear is able to somehow be able to hear it. To somehow my achim, my foot, will be able to hear. My heart will be able to hear. Even if my eyes are not able to see. I want to thank the Chevra for helping me yesterday. Thank Mendy and Glicksman and whoever else was part of the Avi Levi. In getting this copy of the Sefer, my soul thirsts still. It was a book that was put out, I think, in the 1980s by Feldheim. I was looking at it a number of years ago. And I saw the following story there. Person's writing about his mother, remembering the kindness of his mother. And he writes how she seemed to possess a seventh sense when any of her children were in danger. Tells a story, a difficult time period. The Russian armies were encroaching. And this young person was describing, he was a teenager at the time, he had a little sister, Cyrilla. And they were trying to get to some safe place, and it was difficult to carry the little girl. She was 2 years old at the time. And the mother is schlepping along the sister and holding you know, the person who's writing this by the hand. And look what she writes here. As she paused to catch her breath, she noticed a wagon approaching, driven by a non-Jewish driver, who was one of our neighbors. She stopped him and pleaded that he take my sister on the wagon to our house. The peasant agreed. The wagon moved along slowly as the road was choked with wagons, men, women, children, and we, my mother, cousin, and myself, went on ahead. In the confusion, we somehow lost sight of the wagon carrying my sister. After we had gone a considerable distance, my mother suddenly stopped. I hear Cyrilla crying, she said. What are you talking about? Asked my cousin in wonder. How can you hear anything above the din, the galloping horses, the children crying? You're only imagining things. But my mother insisted that above all the clamor, the screaming, the creaking of wagon wheels, she heard my little sister crying. Resolutely, she left us and ran back to where she had left my sister with the peasant, and she found her sitting on the road, crying as only an abandoned 2-year-old can cry. It seems that when my mother had left her with that guy, my sister had wept constantly. Finding her incessant weeping too irritating, he had simply dumped her at the side of the road and driven away. My dearly beloved mother hadn't heard with her ears. Her mother's heart had sensed that her treasured little tochterl had been abandoned. And it is due to this heightened sense of motherhood that my sister, may she live to 120 years in good health and serene spirits, was returned to us unharmed. To be able to listen, not only with the ears, to be able, like this mother, to listen with one's heart, and even more than that, to be able to listen with one's feet. As a person, l'chu ban, as you walk away, shimuli, to continue to listen, and to at least be able to hear one another, even if we can't see one another. Until what? Until we're able to see the geula. At the very least, we should continue to hear the geula. And I conclude with something from Rav Charlap. He just put out, a couple years ago, a beautiful biography from Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap, by one of the grandchildren. And it describes how the Talmud of Rav Kook, Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap, who passed away in 1951, you can imagine what he would have given to see Eretz Yisrael as it is today. And how much more we're looking forward to seeing it in its full binyan, b'mehirah b'yameinu. But Rav Charlap, at the end of his life, he wasn't well. And he was lying in a bed, and it was difficult for him, and he was losing his strength, and time was running out, and his family members were worried about him. They were worried because right outside the window of his bedroom, there was tremendous amounts of construction that was taking place. And they wanted to petition various government leaders in order to be able to silence the building, to stop the building projects, so it shouldn't, God forbid, impinge upon the health of Rav Charlap. And Rav Yaakov Moshe said the following in the final paragraph: "Ad achshav zachisi latzeis ulerose es binyana shel Yerushalayim. Until now, when I had my health, I was able to walk in the streets. Think about this, right? This is 1940s, 1930s. Yeah, Rav Charlap says, I see day in and day out Yerushalayim being built. Achshav kishani chola bebeisi, eini yachol od latzeis ulerose es Yerushalayim bebinyana. I'm no longer able to walk the streets and to see with my eyes the building of Yerushalayim. I'm trapped, lying here in my bed. Ki eshev b'choshech. Hashem orli. V'inei kasha'ani shomei asrash hamachona. But when I hear the heavy machinery outside my window, and I at least hear Yerushalayim being built, ani yodeyesh she Yerushalayim nivnis. Ona, al tichuzos v'imani. Please don't take away that from me. You've taken away the re'iyah. At least allow me to have the Shmiah. Allow me at least, in my final moments, to continue to hear the sounds of the building of Yerushalayim. So Mirtz Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us all a blessing, a bracha. The Bisyat Shmaya, Bischus, all of the different tzaddikim we've learned, along with our trusted Rebbe, the Shem Yishmuel, this year. We should be zocha to continue to hear Yerushalayim, to hear one another, and then Amir Tzashem will be zocha to come to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Yerushalayim bebnuya ayin ba'ayin, b'mehera b'yameinu.
Bye.